This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. As a kid, Jim Avett was in church any time the doors were open. His mother was a classical pianist who played the church organ. His father was a minister. Church choir is where Jim learned to harmonize and where he developed a love for music. For Jim, music is an essential part of his life, and he instilled that idea in his children. His two sons turned their love of music into a world-famous band, the Avett Brothers. Jim Avett returned to music after retiring from a career in welding that took him all over the country. He now lives in Concord, and he will perform next weekend at Merlefest in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. But first, he joins me on The State of Things. Welcome, Jim Avett. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me more about your musical background. Did you grow up listening to music? Your parents, your mother, pianist, obviously.
My mom and dad thought that my brother and sister and I should have a passing interest in music, a knowledge that there are certain things that music does for you that nothing else does. It's not necessary that you get to be good at it. It's necessary that you are aware of how it fits together. It's like mathematics. You can add and subtract, or you can go to calculus. You can play music very, very simply, or you can get on a world stage with it. It's like playing chess. You can play it like checkers, or you can get on a world stage with it.
Well, now, with a father as a minister and a mother as a church organist, were you pointed toward church music in those early years?
Or? Not necessarily. My dad and mom were very open to about anything that we wanted to do. We all started at piano, and I think piano is probably where you need to start. You get the fundamentals. A chance little fingers can push keys down, but they can't squeeze strings. You want to be successful. You want to start out low enough to be successful and enjoy it.
Right.
And that happens with the piano.
But you do – now you dabble in gospel as well.
In
fact, you recorded a gospel album with your kids in 2008.
Fact is, we've got another one that should be out. It should be out now, but – we put Seth in charge of it, and Seth's got more going on in his life than any of the rest of us. So we don't know. It's finished, but they have a new CD coming up.
Scott and Seth are the Avett Brothers, of course, but also your daughter is a musician.
The daughter in the gospel that's coming up, Bonnie and I and Scott and Seth did this one. And it's a little bit different. The way music progresses is every person that gets an instrument in their hand, they play it a little differently. And I have no problem with new music. I have a problem sometime with bad music. I think gospel has gone in a direction that maybe it doesn't need to go, but maybe that's how you get to where you need to go.
Well, would you do a gospel song for us in the way that you would like to hear it?
I don't know how to do them otherwise.
Okay.
They have me at Merlefest because I like to do old-time gospel. Somebody asked Arthur Smith what makes Southern gospel Southern gospel. He said two things. One, it has the highest highs and the lowest lows. And if you ever heard J.D. Sumner sing bass, you'd believe that. The other is that it's theologically correct, and a lot of gospel that's out now is not necessarily theologically correct. But anyway, I mentioned to the producer a while ago this song, and she said she didn't think she'd heard this, so she needs to hear it. I learned this song from my grandmother in North Georgia when I was – this would have been 1953 or 4 or 5, somewhere maybe I was 6 years old, laying on the floor watching her beat out the timing on a treadle sewing machine. My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My hardest trials now have passed. The victory has begun. Come and around me stand, won't you bear me away on your snow-white wings to my immortal home? Bear me away on your snow-white wings to my immortal home. I know I'll miss the holy ranks of friends and kindred dear, I now am standing on Jordan's banks. The crossing must be near. Oh, come, angel man, come and around me stand. Won't you bear me away on your snow white wings to my immortal home? Bear me away on your snow white wings to my immortal home.
Jim Avid, Angel Band, a song that we are assured is theologically correct, and a song that may have yielded not only a love for gospel music, but apparently a pair of pants, as your grandmother pounded out the rhythm on her treadle.
Right.
So tell us about this now, because you had a career. I mean, we know Scott and Seth and the Avid brothers, but you had a career before them. Interrupted that. Was it a career?
I played guitar all my life, and I never had a dream of getting on stage. Scott said in an interview one time, he said, Dad gave up a career in music so we could have one. That ain't really the way it was, because if I'd have had one, it wouldn't have been much. Because I'd have gone to Nashville about the same time some really good guys would have got there. Tom T. Hall, Haggard, Willie, they're all heroes of mine. And I don't know how if I could have stood up with them or not. I've come a long way, but it's been a convoluted trip. I mean, I have from point A to point B is not very far apart. It's just I've been all over the place. Everywhere we've lived, I've played music. And I've been kicked out of about every band I've ever been in. That's why I do mostly solo stuff now.
You were doing some kind of welding. I'd like to hear more about this that a lot of people don't want to do, right?
We worked highway bridge work. 98, 99% of our work was highway bridge work. And it's high and it's on the beams. It's before the floor. Our job was to put the floor in the bridge. We were very focused. We were very good at what we did. The fact is, we were as good as anybody.
Does make you wonder where you're going to stand.
Well, when you're younger, you don't worry about stuff like that. Yeah. When you get older, you care. You'll pay attention to that. But yeah. When you're younger, you don't do that. And for 35 years, I ran that.
Well,
I'd been in the Navy. I learned I didn't take authority very well. So when I got out, I started my own business, and that's where that came from.
But as you say, you always loved music, and apparently you really love murder songs.
Oh, yeah. Murder songs are easy to write. You just have somebody or two somebodies tell you what happened. You make it rhyme, and you add a little music, and you got it. And there's really nothing to it. And there are so many murder songs. Everywhere I go, I'm a pretty easy guy to get to know, and I talk to a lot of people. I don't text too many people, but I talk to a lot of people. And everybody has a story to tell.
You play one for? Yeah, that'd be great.
I've got enough tunes to make one more album, and if I do, this one will be on it. I don't know whether I'm going to do it or not, because it may be time for me to just get out of the way. But anyway, this is about a man that was hung 4 stone throws from my front yard. He's buried over in the ground, and I don't know where. This happened in 1851. Two of his relatives came to me and wanted to go find that grave. We haven't found it yet. We probably will. I need to explain something in this song. There's two lines. One of them, does a man have a right to protect what he owns? I'm not talking about him owning his wife. I'm talking about him owning the relationship. And this other guy came in and messed up that relationship. Also, I used the term, ain't that God's way of thinning the herd? We have cows. We live on a farm. You know, as a farmer, there comes a time when you've got to thin the herd if the herd's going to be any good. You've got to get the weak ones out of there. Now, you can give them to your neighbor and let him worry about them. You can kill them off and eat them. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference. You've got to thin the herd if you're going to get a strong herd, and that works in everything.
All right.
But anyway. Over in the pasture where the green grass grows, there's a big pile of stones on a little pile of bones. Ain't nobody knows about this. and nobody cares. I was standing there wondering about the rocks and such when an old man came up and told me about Bones' bad luck. Old Bones heard a man bragging about messing with his wife. He told some others he'd pay with his life if he found him out. He would shoot to kill. It didn't take long, the guilty party was found. Old Bones sealed a deal, left him dead on the ground. Well, Big John Law rode up in a gang. They arrested old Bones and said he should hang right here. We come to a question I think ought to be heard. Does a man have the right to protect what he owns? Ain't that God's way of thinning the herd? So they hung old Bones, he said goodbye to his wife. For a fit of rage, he paid with his life. Ain't it funny how we react to strife? Old Bones paid the price for what he had done. The guilty man paid for just having some fun. I ain't judging here what's right and who's wrong. Just a thought about how society moves along. Seems to me only the guilty should pay with their bones. Just wondering here what's right and who's wrong, and who ought to be under all of them stones.
Jim Avid playing the song Old Bones, going to perform next Sunday at Merlefest in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Great song. This is, the guy killed somebody. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We got to hook you up with Phoebe Judge. That's the deal. If you like these songs, then we'll get you on Criminal, and you can use some of those songs, and they'll become podcasts.
I got a garden to watch.
Talking to Jim Avid today on The State of Things. He is going to be at Merlefest in Wilkesboro, North Carolina next week. And Merlefest, I mean, this is a pretty important festival started by Doc Watson.
It is the biggest festival in North Carolina, and it is the absolute best festival that I've ever been to. It is family friendly. It is, if you don't like what's going on one stage, there's 8 or 10 stages. There's 8 or 10 stages, and there's somebody you're going to like, and you're going to see people that you have never seen before. The staff at Merlefest ferrets out the brightest and the best there are.
And here in North Carolina, this is a state just full of great music.
Oh, yeah. I tell people there's nothing special about me. I mean, I'm like 10,000 guitar players like play on the front porch. I'm not much of a guitar player. I'm a pretty good singer, but I'm not much of a guitar player. But Merlefest finds them out. And I felt guilty taking one of the slots up there because I don't have a dream of making it big in music. There are still young people that do. And there are only so many slots that can be taken. But I also justify it because there's not many people that are going to want to sing old-time gospel, and they want that at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and that's really where it ought to be.
They should be in church, not listening to
you. I'm not saying they need to be in church. I think we all need to spend at least 1 hour a week thinking about something other than ourselves. And if this is, I'll hit some with some of these songs.
Well, that's un-American, Jim.
Hey,
what do you make of your boys' success, though, Scott and Seth, the Avid brothers? I mean, how do you view that?
I get asked a lot how you deal with this, and I'm not sure that I have to deal with much of any of it. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I think the whole family feels like just because you can sing a song or play a guitar, it doesn't give you the right to be haughty with anybody. It's just part of it. I'm glad that our children are doing something that they like to do. Most people, 98% of the people, feel like they're put upon or underpaid or not appreciated or not respected, they'd like to have another job. Maybe not 98, maybe 95%. But the boys and Bonnie, our daughter, my dad told me long ago, he said, if you can't leave it better than you found it, get out of the way and let the next man have a hack at it. And I believe that, and I've told our children that. And I think that Susie and I have done a fair job of instilling in them, leave it better than you found it, or get out of the way.
Well, I'm really happy you got in our way today. That's for darn sure. And I'm going to leave you time to play us out. But first, I want to remind everybody that Jim Avett is a musician from Concord, North Carolina, is going to perform next week at Merlefest in Wilkesboro. We have all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. I'm going to let you play us out, but I want to thank you, Jim, for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
This is The State of Things. It's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, Ormond as well. Robin Copley's our technical director. Brent Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, Jim Avett.
Know what you gotta do, but you're scared to do it. You know which bridge you've got to cross, but you don't want to get up to it. For you, there ain't no choice. It's the only way you can go. You'd be a whole lot better off if you just get on down the road. Just get moving. You can't stay where you are any longer, it just ain't that way. I know you hate to pack your bags, but don't look forward to the day. You may be back out on your own, but trust me and make a stand. It's the only way you can get relief from the situation at hand. Just stand up. Ain't no good way of doing this thing. You've run long enough. I'm sure the road ain't gonna be smooth. It's probably gonna get pretty